Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest, Rasmus Holst. Rasmus is the CEO of Zensai, the only human success platform seamlessly integrates with Microsoft 365, SharePoint, and Teams, and is powered by AI. Their mission to unlock human potential worldwide. Rasmus, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
So for me, that is to set your alarm clock at 2:30, sneak out of bed, brew a cup of coffee. It's lovely quiet. So if I need to get like a pitch deck done or something where I really positively just need, this needs to be production ready, leave your notes before you go to bed and then just sit. It's dark, kids are asleep, everything like that. It's amazing how productive you can be.
2:30.
2:30.
You're taking the miracle morning and you're moving it into the miracle midnight.
Yeah, because I mean I'm one of those, I mean I'm past 50, so I need to go to bed like at 9:30, 10-ish, and that's my usual routine. But then I have this way of thinking. I'll put stuff on a piece of paper before I go to bed and then just go, because if you get up at like 4 or 5, it's not, I mean you have plenty of people who get up at 6 and you won't be done. Most concentrated work will take you longer than that, and 2:30 kind of works for me.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating, you know, and I've always subscribed to the idea of, you know, if you want to get more done, you have to basically live in an isolation chamber in some way, shape, or form. It's almost impossible to do that wherever you are in the world after the sun rises, because there's all of this noise, commotion, people need your attention, they're texting, they're calling, they're all these things. That was kind of the allure of, you know, we'll wake up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. But you're just saying, hey, well, let's just set a whole block of time aside where nobody's around and just knock this out. It's like the rich man's all-nighter, if you will.
And it kind of, yeah, maybe that's what it is. It just works for me. It's and I have no quarrels with that. I have more quarrels with trying. I can't do the stint that just goes on from like 10 and then on to 3 a.m. or in the morning. That's not me. I'll go have the sleep first, and then when you wake up, just that's tranquil for me. That's when I get stuff done.
Yeah, I actually like that. You know, I'm typically the guy that's staying up until 2:30, so I would have to switch that around for me, but I like the idea. You know, and funny, I met this guy on my podcast. His name is Michael McLean, and he is a his signature push is about being relentless. And I remember I was on one of his mastermind calls one time, and he was asking me, Josh, what are you going to focus on for the time being, like in the next 30 days? And I said, I'm taking no days off. And he was like, oh, I endorse this. But basically what happened was I realized that on Saturday, when I was just like chilling out, like wasting time doing whatever, nobody's calling me, nobody's bothering me. I could sit down there and buckle down for like 4 hours and really catch up on something because I have no commitments. And so.
I shared that with you. I mean, I had my marketing team having, oh, we can't produce this or we can't do this or that. And it was some landing pages and stuff. And I went like, hey, maybe it's not the CEO's job to do this. But my kids are 19 and 22, and I had a Sunday and I was just watching some Premier League soccer. And I went like, I'll just pull out the computer, and nobody bothered me for it. So we had 10 new web or 10 new landing pages when we started Monday morning. And everyone went like, what are you doing? That's not your job. And I went like, hey, but I was just sitting there. I have a life where I'm not being bothered by my kids. They can generally cook themselves. One doesn't live at home anymore, so it's all good. So I subscribe to that view that if you can create that space for yourself, it really helps.
And by the way, the whole web team is fired, so
No, no, no,
I
no,
no
no.
longer need you.
No, I mean they are in a different. Some of them are in a different place in life, and they have little kids and all of that. And they went, "How are you doing this?" And I mean, I don't have to take little kids to somewhere or take them to sports, and my kids will drive themselves and all of that. So my lifestyle could easily accommodate that.
Yeah, makes a
And
lot of
it's
sense.
always a team's effort, right? And if I really subscribe to the view that if you're the CEO and you show up and you do stuff for people, they also go, oh, he's not just telling us to do stuff. He can actually do stuff himself. And it also keeps you sh yourself sharp. I've been lucky enough in my career to have everything from development teams to marketing teams and all that. And you can just prove to the team that, hey, I can still be part of this. I still know what it is to get this done. And I'm not just sitting at the top doing making calls. I know that, hey, I need to do that, so I can't do this every time. But sometimes it's also just refreshing to do that.
So let's talk about the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity of learning, engagement, and performance. And this is what you say ultimately leads to human success. And before you get into it, I want to endorse this message because I actually have a degree in education and I spent the first part of my career as a teacher. And you can teach somebody how to do something. But until they engage with that learning process, they didn't really learn it. And until they perform the task that they were engaging with, they didn't really learn it and they don't really comprehend it. And so I have not seen these. I'm curious to see how this all fits together for you, but just seeing the progression of learning, engagement, performance immediately makes sense to me as somebody who has taking somebody with zero skill in something and taught them how to be a master at the highest level, they have to be doing all three of these things all the time.
And that thank you for you're almost stealing my pitch here, but
Ah,
that
all right.
fantastic.
That's it for me. Okay,
I'm
we'll
also
see you next
son
time
of
on the Do Zone.
yeah, that was it. No, but it essentially is this because our view of things is try and find me a CEO who doesn't want to be able to deliver or create a high performance team. There would be no CEO who would say, I don't want that. And then number two, try and have a CEO who would be able to tell you future performance of their team. And everyone goes, but you can't do that. And yet, if you seek the first answer in athletics or sports, you can. Because if learning is equal to training and you show up and you train every day, or you train and the engagement is you stay true to your commitment and you train every day or you follow your training schedule. The one thing that people can do, obviously you could run faster and all that, but if you keep your training schedule, you can tell your future performance within 10%. And nobody in business really takes this up. And like, again, the Holy Trinity should actually lead to CEOs being able to tell the future performance of your business in terms of your team, because it transformed 10 years ago with how you saw your product, your customer support, all of that. That became customer success. Right. And that's why we've named it human success, because we think human resource, that's somewhere Middle Ages or something like that, that came about. And you actually want to be able to tell in what the future performance of your team is. And then we say, if you then also change the vocabulary that you use, if I work for you, I'm a human resource. But if you're my customer, I'm invested in your success. Why am I invested in my customer's success and not in my team? So the whole thing really also builds from every single learn, perform, engage system is built top down so the CEO can understand what his team does. If you flip it around and people show up with engagement, they show up as the best version of themselves every day and they want to learn, they want to be engaged, then they will also deliver performance. And I think for the longest time, we've flipped that the wrong way around. And now with AI, use that as an underpinning to lift people up instead of putting it as human resources versus AI resources. You still need the best team. There's no way there's just going to be an AI company that just switches on the power in the morning. Or, hey, they don't even need to switch it off and on. And because at that time, it will be an AI software selling through an AI salesperson to an AI procurement bot that buys it into another software. It won't make sense. You still need the best team. And thereby, we're saying the next age, you as a CEO, you need to focus on the success of your team and build that through not conventional ways of thinking of, here's the top and I'll press everything down, but to build the engagement from the team up. That's all.
So one way that I had a conversation about this recently, about kind of flipping job descriptions on their head, like the way that people apply for jobs and the way that people hire for jobs is long overdue for upheaval, like a complete disruption and reorganization, because based on what you just said, we're hiring for performance and then not so much focusing on the engagement and the learning part. Whereas,
and if you take in skills as well, then you would say, oh, you have the skills and I may have skills that are less than you. But if my engagement to solve the task is higher, trust me, I'll get there first. If your engagement is higher, you'll get there first. And we have some amazing examples. We had our accountant became our CFO and took the company from 0 to $14 million in ARR. Most CFOs have not done that. She's our accountant. She didn't do that on skill. She did that on engagement and learning every time something came out. Was the performance at like elite level? No, but it was good enough to get the company at any time over an 8-year period to where we wanted to be. Yeah. This is pure engagement. This is the grit. This is whatever we describe it as. And sometimes you actually rather want the engagement or grit on the team rather than the perfect skill.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where, you know, when you're looking for somebody that has, you must have this many skills.
Yeah.
Then you're only getting somebody that can fill in those gaps. But when you flip it and you go for somebody that can learn and somebody who wants to engage, they'll get those skills too.
Yeah.
And they'll be, even if their skills aren't that high, just like you said, they'll do better. I have a team of people that I have hired that I only look for three things. Are you proactive?
Yeah.
Are you responsible?
Yeah.
And are you pleasant to be around?
We almost have the same hiring philosophy. It's very, very, very close.
And that's it, right? So because if I've got somebody that fits those criteria, not only can I count on you to show up and learn, but I can also count on you to not be annoying and want to get rid of you. And these people crush, like whatever it is that I give them, they're like, I got it. I'll figure this out. I understand the mission. I understand what my role is. Let me get to work.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
And also when you have the team dynamics where it becomes a tougher setting, right? Most of these not a jerk type hires, they will actually find their way because they intrinsically want to help the other people on the team. And that team dynamics is to me worth a lot, like a lot, because that means that the team keeps the drive even in headwinds. And if we think there are no headwinds in business, we're actually just fooling ourselves. So it's how they show up in the headwinds as well, because in tailwinds, we can all be great and we can all look like winners. But in the headwinds, you feel the dogs biting at each other, right? And there you can feel everything coming out.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about Zensai.
It's a company out of Denmark. We're lucky enough to sell to most of the world. Actually, 50% of our business is in the US, 35% in Europe, and 15% in Asia Pacific. We've been around since 2009, had a great growth trajectory. I've been the CEO here for 3 years. We went from 14 million to 40 million in ARR in that short time span. Work really closely with Microsoft, build our entire business on being really good at that, which obviously is, again, it's a choice we've set. We don't necessarily need to be the best product in the world, but we have the best distribution and the best delivery mechanism because you have 350 million people in teams who are working on the same technology platform. And by doing that, we have a good business. We have a solid business. It's 200 people, and essentially trying to be our own best case study. So everything we have, we say to everyone else about being human success and treating everyone in that way. We're trying the experiment with ourselves, actually.
Okay, excellent. And so tell us a little bit more about, well, what does Insight do in connection with Microsoft Teams?
Actually, the platform and the whole software platform, you will actually experience it within Teams. So if you've ever used Teams, there's actually a little bar out on the left where you can get your chats and your calendar, and essentially Sensei shows up there. So it's as closely integrated as at all possible, because we're also thinking that learning, for instance, is one of those things. Then you have to go find the other system, log in, all of those. No, do it in the flow of work. And the more micro learning we're doing, you can literally do it where you do your messages to your teammates anyway, or you can learn right after a meeting, or you can learn from a meeting, all those kind of things. And the same with the engagement. Most engagement surveys, funnily enough, run every year. And if we can go back to the athlete, you're going like, who would trust an athlete who told you they were in good shape a year ago? Like, nobody. So we do it on a weekly basis. That's our little trick. And actually, if you think about it differently, and think that every time you do an engagement survey, it's also your opportunity to give a kudos to someone in your team. So to give you a small example of our own use of the platform, last year we gave about 14,000 kudos for 200 people. It's free of charge. And you can literally see it on people's faces, right? That they read something that somebody wrote, Josh, I really like what you did on the presentation on Monday. You nailed it. And if I walk past you when you read that, I can see the little smile. Nobody's immune to that. Nobody's immune. And I really don't understand that more business leaders do not embrace that as a productivity tool, because happiness and kudos and camaraderie is a massive productivity boost. I was actually on another podcast where the interviewer said that there was somebody who had done a statistics that NBA teams, that when they get to the finals, the ones with the most high fives have the highest propensity to win on the bench. And why don't we harness that? That's a human feeling that everyone subscribes to. It's not different whether you're in India or in Denmark or in the US. There's no person on earth that doesn't like a compliment. And there's no, and yet nobody tried to harness that.
Well
And it's
said.
free. It doesn't cost you anything.
That's right. Yeah, man. So, hey, we're gonna wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Rasmus Holst, for sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done and that holy trinity of learning, engagement, and performance. For those of you who want to learn more about Zensai, you can visit zensai.com. And whether you're out on your morning commute, you're in the gym doing your squats, or you're somewhere out in the field catching crocodiles or whatever it is you may be doing, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a calendar full of prospects who want what you have, you can download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That's it. Now, let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.